We also want to welcome each one this evening to the house of the Lord, and we trust that our being together will do two things. It'll glorify our Lord, and we'll be challenged to be more faithful to Him. The subject is entitled this evening, Full-Time Christian Service. Could any of this be our attitude as a Christian? Master, where should I work today? And my love flowed warm and free. He pointed out a tiny plot and said, "Tend that for me." But I answered quickly, "Oh, no, not there." Not anyone could see, no matter how well my task was done, not that little place for me. And his voice, when he spake, it was not stern, but he answered me tenderly, "Disciple, search thy heart of thine. Are you working for them? Are you working for me?" Nazareth was just a little place, and so was Galilee. Some time ago, I met a man who had served as a salaried ministry for a number of years, but now he had a lawn care business, and as he preached on the Lord's Day, said this kind of troubled him because he had been in full-time ministry, and now he was doing secular work part of the week. But you know, we as a born-again Christians should be in full-time service, whatever our calling in life is. Whether it's a doctor, employer, employee, a farmer, a housewife, a teacher, a logger, a volunteer, or whatever. In Colossians 3:17, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." In Colossians 3:23, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord God." Is work a curse? Is there any way you can find fulfillment in a job that seems to be going nowhere? Do you feel overworked and underappreciated sometimes? Do you care too much or not enough about your job? What does God think about your work? Does your job really matter to Him? Is your workplace a burden that you should endure? Is work a curse? Work is a consequence of creation, not the fall. Work itself is not a curse. It was part of the Lord's blueprint for daily life in paradise. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 8, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." And then in verse 15, "The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." But then later on, we find the curse came in Genesis 3:17. "He said unto Adam, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all thy days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles it shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou returnest unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, from dust thou art, until dust thou returneth." We find that before the fall, Adam and Eve had a perfect job. They had a perfect boss. But every occupation since then has its own versions of annoying weeds that hinder our work and cause us pain. You know, contrary to the way we feel sometimes, work itself is not a curse. When we approach work properly, we realize that almost every job is a way of working for and working with God and bringing honor and glory to His name. Some people fail to recognize opportunities because many times it comes to us in overhauls and looks like work. When the grass looks greener on the other side of the fence, it may be they're taking better care of it than we are. Ever think of that? There may be some here today who are at the point of indecision about whether they should stay on their current job, or perhaps wondering if maybe they should choose another career or job. How do we choose a job or a career? I'd like to point out 7 steps that would be helpful And we're going to use the word guide, G-U-I-D-E. First of all, G, go to the Lord. If we have a relationship with Him, it says we should ask. We should ask for wisdom. We should pray, and we should trust Him. The second word letter is U. Understand His principles. What biblical issues apply to your decision? Will this job bring honor and glory to God? It should, if you're a Christian. And we should choose an occupation that will bring honor and glory to Him. The next letter is I. Investigate your opinions. There's pros and cons in every job. What about your interests, your talents, and your weaknesses? And then D, discuss it with others, those in various jobs, and how they respond to that. We should seek advice from Spirit-filled friends. Ask for prayer, because it's a big decision to make. I think there's three decisions in life that are in value to me would be first to accept the Lord. And the second, if the Lord feels we should marry, is our choosing our companion. And I feel the third is our occupation in life. And then E, express your freedom. If you're depending on the Lord and you have done your homework, go ahead by faith. The Lord will honor you when you honor Him, including Him in the process. Work is not a curse. Remember that. I think many people today feel it is, and that's sad. Secondly, know who you're working for. You know, all of us go through a period in work when it sometimes loses its appeal. I remember working with a fellow years ago at the stone quarry, and he used to say, every job has its snags. Well, that's life. It does have its snags. Some things we enjoy, some things we don't enjoy. Maybe some areas it may be the boss seems too critical. Co-workers may get on our nerves. Your family may not appreciate how hard you work for them. You may not get the raise you want. The work becomes boring, repetition, and seems rather meaningless. And we need to ask ourselves, then, what are we working for? Let's go back to Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. God is an employer who has our best interest at heart. He's concerned about you and me, and He wants to help us in every aspect of our work. The reason for His deep concern is because our actions on the job reflect our inner character and our love and our devotion to Him. Are people seeing that in the way we work on our daily work? Instead of considering ourselves to be a victim of our circumstances, God wants us to be people of action who in a positive way affect our job environment instead of being controlled by it. So many times, the problem in our work ethics is attitude. Someone has said that 98% of what happens to us is our attitude, and only 2% is really what happens to us. If you go back again to Colossians 3:23, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Who deserves service as to the Lord? Who are we responsible to give service as to the Lord? First of all, our employer. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the service of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good that any man doeth, the same shall be received of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. The ultimate paycheck that we need to receive comes from the Lord. Secondly, our family. They desire our service, our work. In 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, which he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So our spouse, our children, and dependents and elderly parents who need special care we're responsible for. The third is the poor in Ephesians 4:28. Let him that steals, steal no more. Him that stole, steal no more. But let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. In Proverbs 19:17, he that has pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. That which he has given will be paid him again. And fourthly, spiritual well-being of our boss and co-workers should be our responsibility. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, study to be quiet, do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as he commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and you may have lack of nothing. A few questions I wanted to ask for us to think about. What do you give to God and others when you work? Honor or dishonor? Do your co-workers know you're a Christian? Will they draw to Christ because of your life, your example, your work habits? We need to be aware of the misconception that the highest form of work is what has been called full-time Christian service. But as I mentioned before, being a minister, a missionary, or working for a Christian ministry is not more sacred to God, I believe, than secular work, like selling clothing, farming, driving a truck, programming a computer, or being a godly wife and mother, and also volunteering and helping people. All types of work that serve needs and are done heartily unto the Lord are pleasing to the Lord. We please Him most when we do our best with the skills He has given us. In other words, I think we should try to develop the skills of good work habits that will bring an honor and glory to God. I have seen in my short life, as I worked at the store for the Nails, a big change in the younger generation in work habits. We had some young men that were fully dedicated to work, take responsibility, but we have quite a few. They were never taught to take responsibility. We almost had to leave them around by the hand. And that's a sad commentary, especially for Christians. Thirdly, we need to develop right attitudes about work. In Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmuring and disputings. If you're out in a workplace today, in many places, all you hear is people complaining about the company they work for, the people they work with, just finding fault all the time. It says also that we do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom we shine as lights in the world. Many people around us see work as a necessary evil that needs to be endured until they can punch out and do what they really want to do. Some symptoms of the wrong view of work is, number one, there's more concern for the paycheck instead of getting the job done. Secondly, there's careless work habits. Thirdly, there's stealing time through lateness, long breaks, etc. Sometimes when you see people working along the road, and I just can't believe how many people get together just standing and talking, not working. When I worked at the store for Harry and Fred now, I remember if each one of us at that time had an hour we were supposed to take care of, we ordered and put up the stock. But sometimes some of them would get together in the same hour. And Brother Harry used to say, if they drop a bomb, I lose all my help. It was kind of a saying of his, which was true. Another is a constant, chronic complainer and someone who's moody, disrespect for authority and fellow workers. Every job has its frustrations and pressures. We can either become bitter and unproductive, or we can use the difficulties to help us become better workers and a more Christ-like person. And that's what the purpose of, I think, everything in life is, to become more Christ-like. Do we see progress in our work, related attitudes and actions? Are we growing in that area to have better attitudes? God not only cares about how we serve him at church, at home, in our neighborhood, but he also wants us to be involved in every aspect of our workday to be an honor and glory for him. He cares how we make that sale, how we treat that customer, how we respond to the boss, how we work with people, how we handle company properly, how do we deal with everyday irritations as well as a major crisis. How can we become better in our full-time service to the Lord? First of all, I think we need to view job stress as an opportunity to do better. In Romans 5:3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. If we're having some hard times in the job, maybe God wants us to learn some lessons. I know I have had to learn lessons on the job, and I think we all do at times. We need to grow more spiritual. Secondly, we need to realize that even though we don't get the respect and pay we feel we deserve, the Lord will reward us, but it's done for his sake. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto God. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as a servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing as service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Our working habits should be the same whether the boss is standing at our side or whether we're alone, because we're working for God. Thirdly, remember, it pleases God for us to submit to both good and bad employers. In 1 Peter 2, servants, be subject to your master with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. 1 Peter 2:21, for hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving an example that we should follow his steps. Maybe we're suffering so that we will grow more Christ-like. Fourthly, we are overcome evil with good. In Romans 12:17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things on us in the sight of all men. If possible, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I remember back in the 60s when I worked at the stone quarry. We operated equipment. We had a shovel, a par shovel, and they had a night crew on. And it was a fellow who operated in the daytime, didn't keep after the machine very clean, was sort of sloppy when he greased and so on. And the fellow run the nighttime, he just did him dirty and made it worse. That's a poor example for anyone. But that happens in so many places. Remember, our attitude about work affects our service and full-time ministry. And also our children are looking on, and they're watching our work habits and our attitude about work. And that's important. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, or wisdom in the grave where thou goest. In other words, when our life is done here, it's finished. So let's be diligent while we have strength to serve the Lord. And then fourthly, we need to keep our work in proper balance. As Christians, we need to see the value that God places on our work, and we need to keep life in that balance. Some suggestions to keep a proper balance in our personal life, our family, our church life, and our work. We need to, first of all, pray for wisdom. We all need wisdom. We live in a time when we're busy. Everybody wants everything done yesterday. And especially if you're in business, you find that more and more. Secondly, we need to determine how much time we need to spend at work, especially if you're self-employed. If we don't set limits on our work, that work will take all our energy away from our family and our spiritual needs. I think, thirdly, we need to set a come-home time. If we don't, God will fill that, the world and the devil will fill that time, and we won't have any time with our family. Schedule non-work time, family time, church commitments, personal plans. And as I mentioned before, The schedules of all of us are much busier than they used to be. We have a lot more conveniences, but we have a lot more responsibilities. And the world is crying on every hand to get our attention. And I'd suggest also that we would maintain a Sabbath. Set aside special times during the week. Maybe an hour each day for rest or reflection, time alone with God. Are you a workaholic, a balanced person, or someone who needs to put more effort into life? I'd like to share a true account of two men who worked together some. This could be an experience of any of us in our workplace. The one's name was John and the other's name was Ron. John said, you need to take that fire hydrant apart and use a longer piece of pipe at the joint. Ron was a city inspector reminding me what to do. It was Friday morning and I was in a hurry. We were desperately trying to finish installing the water line that day, and this change would cause another delay. But I didn't have the needed parts. Besides, there were sewer pipes already installed in the ground that were in the way. Then Ron went on to say, he said to Ron, there is no room for a longer pipe of a piece of pipe. I responded, why can't we just leave the hydrant the way it is? Anger began to well up inside of me. The area where we were working was governed by both county and city regulations. We're not always in agreement. And as a job superintendent, I was frequently caught between the two of them. And with my boss pressuring me to get the job done on time, frustrating was building. Now, Ron was not really trying to be difficult. After working with him in another job a year earlier, I knew that he was a Christian, and he was just trying to do the job right according to his instructions, but that didn't fix my current problem. And then Ron said to me, John, you may be able to turn the hydrant 90 degrees and make it fit with a longer pipe, he suggested. And he said, I never thought of that. And his idea reminded me of a piece of pipe that was in the truck. That might fit the situation. As we were walking back to the truck, Ron said, John, you have a boss to please. And I have a boss to please. And sometimes they're in conflict. But as Christians, we both have someone higher than them to please. That's all of us. That's all of us. Let's you and I pray together and ask for guidance from him. He said, we leaned over the hood of the pickup truck. We bowed our heads and Ron began, Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to work with other Christians. Help John and the rest of the crew to know how to accomplish their work today. May we be a blessing to each other and most of all to you. I also prayed asking for wisdom to work through the problems we were facing. Afterwards, with the engineering drawings and Ron's help and experience, we worked out the situation. Decided the materials that were needed and left to get them done. As I drove home, I realized how close I'd come to taking out my frustration on Ron. Instead, God had used him, a fellow believer, to show me my need and to meet that need. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, the Word of God says, But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Too many times, we think we have to do it alone. He went on to say, we still faced some problems throughout that day. The trench caved in several times. We broke a pipe that had to be replaced. However, we got our goals met, and all the crew members were safe at the end of the day. But best of all, by God's grace, my attitude was better, and my faith was increased. I'm thankful that he sent Ron to supply my need. That Friday. We need to pray for each other. We need to be concerned for each other. And especially in the workplace. There's a lot of pressures today. I think question I want to leave with us tonight, two questions. First of all, really, who are you working for? Who am I working for? And secondly, as Christians, are we taking our daily full-time Christian work seriously? If we're a child of God, whatever we're called to do, we should do it faithfully as unto the Lord. He's coming back one of these days. We might be at the workplace. We might be in bed. I don't know where we'll be. Wherever we are, let's be faithful. God bless you.